the potter's hands. And I'm sure this is not a new thing. We talk about us being submissive. We don't like to hear that. We don't like to be submissive. That's our natural nature, is we struggle with being submissive. And one of the things that I thought of is that even as I get older, it's easy to be dickheppig, stubborn. And part of it we excuse as being, well, you know, that's just the way I am. But it's like, how am I going to be? I think the challenge for us, and I think Wilbur addressed it well, is the challenge for us this morning is how am I going to remain pliable in the hands of the potter, even as I grow older? Because I think no matter how old we are, we still somehow we need to remain teachable. That God can still work in our lives and make us into a beautiful vessel that He wants us to be. I've chosen a scripture this morning in Jeremiah 18, and I'll just read that. It's from the English Standard Version. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands. And he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hands, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. Or could we say, O house of Woodlawn this morning? I don't know if we just look at, just kind of reflect back into chapter 17 of Jeremiah. I think I'm just going to briefly look at that. And if you remember, there's a fairly popular verse in chapter 17, in verse 9, that says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And God had given the people of Judah a, how would you say, he laid down the law. And then he said, blessed is the man, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And I thought, that's where I want to be. I want to be a man who trusts in the Lord, who my trust remains in God no matter what comes our way. Not does my trust wane when the circumstances change? I think it's important for us to remain, to realize that no matter where I'm at in life, no matter what I experience in life, that God has me in His hands. I'd like to use a couple things. I have room for everything here, but I brought some clay along. You can't see that one yet, or this one. But I was going to bring gloves along, and I didn't, but we'll try to just... I think every one of you should maybe have a chunk of this, but I don't know if I'll do that. But if you think about... I had the privilege of actually visiting a potter shop this week in Goshen, I told the man, we'll put in a little ad for him. It's Gertsen Pottery at the Bag Factory, Mark Gertsen. And interesting to see him work. And when I told him that I was going to share a message on the potter and the wheel, and he says the interesting thing about that account is that the clay talks to the potter. And I thought, well, if anybody should know it, he should. And so I don't know how the clay talks to the potter, but if you think about it, I went and bought some clay at Amazon. And it doesn't look like much, does it? But as I thought of this, I thought of us being clay in the potter's hand, and to just think about how caring a God we have. The love of God is the thing that I think I want to promote every time, is that God cares for you. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, this is us. We don't look like much, do we? And then sometimes I'm not going to handle this a whole lot because my hands will get messy. We don't want messy hands. But sometimes we want to be in charge of the pottery, don't we? Well, here we go. There's my attempt at making a cup. Looks pretty good from back there, doesn't it? But if I would put water in here, it would leak pretty good. But the amazing thing about this clay is that it, I'm just going to look at a couple of these images that I got. When he first started the clay there, he had I'm sure he had different clay than this. But he took the clay and he just kind of whopped it on the wheel and so it would stick. And he said that the water on his hands works so that the clay doesn't just stick to his hands. He says the clay is very sticky, actually. And so the water is an important agent in working the clay. So you see the clay there a little bit on the bottom. There's not a whole lot, not much to see. And that's how we are, I believe, in life. And I don't know what stage we're at in life, but God's goal is to make a vessel of honor for him, that we can praise him to the praise of his glory. So, you know, that's our goal, is that we honor him and serve him. And you see it starting to take shape. And I don't know, maybe there are things that happen to us in life that cause us to have cracks, like this piece here. But those things can be a life lesson to help us to draw back to the potter for sure, knowing that he's in control, we are not. There's a story of a man and his wife were driving their horse and buggy down the road, and they were in a dangerous spot, and the wife was really petrified, and she grabbed one of the reins and said, and she tried to steer, and the husband just calmly gave her the other rein and said, well, here, no. And he said, no, I don't want to do it by myself. I want you to help. And he says, it's either you or me. We can't both do it. And if you think about that, isn't that how we are with God a lot? We want to help you. I think we can do a good job if we help each other. So you see the couple of cups there that different kinds of cups, and there's the tools that he uses. I don't know if any of us use any kind of tools like that for our work. Jerry, you think you could do any work like that? But this pot was fairly solid, and he kind of stuck it on there in these little holders down there. I think he actually kind of propped it up so it would be level. But you see, he's shaving off the imperfections or whatever and making it a beautiful thing. In this next picture, you see the off fall there. And sometimes maybe we think that's us. But one of the things about that is that even in that, he says that's all reusable. He'll get that stuff and put it in water, and I'm going to try that on this cup. It might be a different kind of clay, but I'm thinking, I'm going to see. Of course, I don't want to destroy my handiwork, but in other words, as long as we live, God has the possibility of making us what he wants the final picture to be. And even as I think of what happened in Sunday school, the blind man, his story wasn't very long, was it? But man, was it ever powerful. And as I think of that for us, we don't know how long our life here on earth is or how much time we have for us to be the vessel that God wants us to be. But the main thing is that somehow we remain on the wheel of life, as it were, and allow God to continue. And just that whole thing of God having his hands on us, I don't know, that picture is something that I think is just awesome, to realize that God holds us in his hands. There's a lot of other comparisons that God makes for our relationships. One is a husband and wife, and other things. It's like, but this thing of us being the clay in the potter's hand is just, I think it's just an awesome thing. And then you have finished products. And here's, here's my finished product, and here's God's. Well, this isn't God's, but that's Gertson's product there. But and there's others. I don't know if I should set that there, but in this, I would probably not drink my coffee because I would have to drink it fast. But in this was made by the potter's hands, and it's a useful cup. It's a good cup to drink coffee out of, or hot chocolate, or whatever you want to drink. But God, in some ways, it's like, okay, and maybe you don't like pottery, I don't know, but they're beautiful. And I don't know how he does all this stuff, but this beautiful, beautiful pottery, and it's not cheap either, but but anyway, it's just some pictures there of pottery. And Jeremiah was instructing, or God was instructing Jeremiah to just the lesson from the potter's hand. And I think we need that as well. Go on to the next one here. And it says, I am the Lord. There is no other God. I have equipped you for battle, though you don't even know me. So all the world from the east to west will know that there is no other God. I am the Lord, and there is no other. And I hope that you know God. I think we do. And verse 7 says, I create the light and make the darkness. I send good times and bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things. Open up, O heavens, and pour out your righteousness. Let the earth open up wide so salvation and righteousness can sprout up together. I, the Lord, created them. What sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay not argue? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does a clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? How terrible it would be if a newborn baby said to its father, why was I born? Or if it said to his mother, why did you make me this way? Verse 11 says, this is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and your Creator. Do you question what I do for my children? Do you give me orders about the work of my hands? I am the one who made the earth and created people to live on it. With my hands, I stretch out the heavens. All the stars are at my command. And I don't know where you're at today as far as your recognizing that. In Romans 9 as well, we have kind of a similar thing. Is it says, "Nay, but O man, who art thou?" Verse 20, Romans 9, verse 20 says, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with such long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles." Man, that's precious stuff right there. I don't think any of us are Jews that I'm aware of, but God made known his mysteries to us as Gentiles because of his mercy. So, what are some things that we can learn from the potter? One of the things that I think is so important is this. I brought some mini clays. Should have got Silly Putty, right? But these are for, as I think of young people, youth. I thought of the verse that says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Ecclesiastes 12:1. Before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, "I have no pleasure in them." As young children, you may not realize the importance of learning obedience to your mom and dad. But I'll tell you what, that is something that is part of the legacy that's passed on from one generation to the next. I know that there's some people sitting back here that probably knew me as a kid. Loyal Ann, and thanks for coming. You played a role in my life, and I thank you for that. But I think it's tremendously important that we teach our young people the importance of submitting to the clay, to the potter, that we are clay in the potter's hands, even at a young age, and that it goes on. Because there are periods in our life, it says, before the difficult days come. And as young people, sometimes we thought, boy, these days are difficult already, didn't we? I mean, we thought one day was like a week in school, and it was like 3 years for 1 year to pass in school, wasn't it, Jerry? And it's like, now it's like completely the opposite. Time just marches on. So my message is this morning for you as young people. Don't think you have a lot of time either. Remember, the more you learn and find who God is, the better you will do in life. I'm convinced of that, without regret. One of the things that happens in clay work is that, like we looked at some of the tools that are used, there are hard bumps, there are hard lumps in clay. And without being, I don't know, maybe there's times when we need to be beat or tapped or whatever to make that chunk soft and to make it more pliable. If you look at the scripture that it says in verse 4, maybe we'll just back up to that. Yeah, I don't know. Well, you got it memorized. Verse 4 says this, that the vessel he was making was spoiled or marred. And as I thought of that, the potter didn't just take that clump and just heave it in the corner and say, okay, that's enough of that. But look what he says here. He says, he reworked it into an other vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Isn't that the awesomeness of God's love? Perhaps you're disappointed with the vessel that God made. The important part is to realize that he will keep you on that wheel if you allow him to do that. And he's going to rework it. I don't know if this can be reworked, but I didn't have a wheel either, so that's my excuse. But God is a professional, and he knows what he's doing. In our fear of not releasing, I think probably one of the hardest things we have in life is to release things to God, because we want to be in control. That is probably what hinders God's work as much as anything. As I thought of us as older people, as I grow older, I think there's something that I need to do. And I know that some of you think I'm really old, and there's some of you think I'm really young. But I think there's something that we need to do, that we need to focus on in whatever age we're at, is to realize that we never get to the place where we have it all together and we have achieved and we've arrived. We have to continually realize that we need to be renewed. And it says this, and Wilbur touched on it this morning about our bodies not doing what they should anymore. And in 2 Corinthians 4 here it says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And we were singing about that. And the last song we were singing about, when all those trials and toils are past, I thought of my dad, of course, and I thought of Ed. And you know what? It's hard to let go. To realize that they are no longer here. But for them, it's like their troubles and toils are past. And that is the hope that we place our hope in realizing that if we trust in an eternal God, that our hope remains forever and ever. And it's not just a temporary thing. Circumstances in life, if you think about the wheel of life, our circumstances in life are not always pleasant, for sure. None of us will be able to avoid troubles. We know that Jesus said, you'll have troubles, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. There are trials, there are chastenings, there are circumstances. But let's remember this: the wheel is controlled by the potter. One of the things that happens in pottery, as we think of being yielded to God, is number one, he created us to be useful. And his goal is to shape his hands, or to shape us into Christ's hand, Christ's image. And then maybe last, God's hands also reshape the broken dreams that we have. And I believe those are the things that we need to, that we deal with. There are things that maybe we feel shame and guilt. And maybe we begin to believe that God doesn't use us, can no longer use us. When we bring our sin to the Lord, confess it earnestly, nail it to the cross of Christ, and to surrender to the power of his shed blood, God can take our sin and shame from us and then mold us into a vessel that glorifies him. There's a lot of things that happen to us in life, and we talked a little bit about this. Sometimes we pray. Sometimes we talked about this in Sunday school class a little bit. Sometimes we pray, and God does not answer our prayer the way we think he should. And then we begin to question God, Lord, why? Why was it this way? And it's hard for us to say, Lord, have your way. And I think it's important for us to realize it is okay to ask God why, but I don't think it's important that we don't stay there, that we don't stay in the why, and God, where are you? But that we somehow begin to allow God to reshape us. The story is of a 42-year-old woman who sat at a prayer meeting with a broken heart. She had served the Lord faithfully all her adult years in various capacities, all dreaming of her heart's desire to take the gospel to Africa as a missionary. When her plans finally seemed to be moving forward, a lack of financial support brought her dreams to a standstill. Heartbroken, she attended a prayer meeting at church. Hardly able to focus on what was going on around her, she was struck by the words of an elderly woman who prayed, "It really doesn't matter what you do with us, Lord. Just have your way in our lives." And I thought of that. Is that my approach? Or am I so stuck on a certain thing that I think God wants to do with us? And this lady, Adelaide Pollard, wrote the four stanzas of "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. And I don't know about you, but I think that probably all of us probably still struggle with giving God that. I knew I went through a couple of ordinations and when that song was sung, and it was like, oh no, here we go again. And have your own way, Lord. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. And I'd like to then later, we'll sing that at the end as a closing prayer. There's another song that I listened to this week, and it's called "Canvas and Clay." In my mother's womb, you formed me with your hands, known and loved by you before I took a breath. And Wilbur touched on that, about how that in Psalm 139, how that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows us, even before we were formed in my mother's womb. Really? Do you think the potter knows the clay? I think he does. And then, when I doubt it, Lord, remind me, I'm wonderfully made. You are an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future and for my good, for your glory and for your name. And so, the last verse I want to share with you is this, Isaiah 64:8. "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." And I think it's so important for us to realize that as we go through life, no matter what our age is, God, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are a potter. We are all the work of your hand. If we can go through life with that attitude, I think a lot of things in life will change. Our approach to life is going to be affected by that kind of an attitude and realizing, you know what? For one thing, I'm not junk. God doesn't make junk. It's not because of me, my own self, and my own goodness, but because I have been formed by the hand of God. And I want you to realize that. I don't know what you're going through today, but as we close the service today, I just want you to just reflect on the fact that it is God's will to have you in the palm of his hands, and he has you in the palm of your hand of his hands, and to just let him work your life in a way that he wants to make something beautiful of your life. I'm just going to open it up just briefly. If somebody wants to share a testimony, we'll do that before we come to prayer. Allow you to do that after the service. I'm going to have some clay up here for all the youngsters. You're willing to take one or two. It doesn't seem like there's many children here today, so maybe some of you older ones can have one too. Anyone want to make a comment? Over here, Steve.
Just want to say thank you for the message this morning. It's been a blessing to me. And coming right behind the message last Sunday that James gave us about what would Jesus do and how we allow him to use our lives, today is a very good illustration of that. And just praise the Lord, and I want to say that that's what I want to be. I want to be exactly what you're saying, clay that's pliable, easy to work with in God's hands. And just pray for me in that.
Thank you, Steve. May God give you grace to do that, all of us. Tony?
The comparable to being clay as well, and you brought it, made it very clear as far as how God doesn't want to force us into being this with this hammer and chisel. And I mean, yeah, that's an illustration as well, but it's more of a like he pushes here and we change a little bit, and he pushes over here and we change a little bit, and the texture of the clay is so important as well. And I want to be pliable. I want to be moldable into that cup that holds coffee properly. And yeah, thank you for the message.
Thank you, Tony. All right. Let's stand for prayer. And then after the prayer, I think, Sam, if you want to lead, I think it's 371. I'm not sure. Christian Hymnary. Maybe you know it by heart, but and we'll just sing this song then as a prayer. Anyway, let's just sing that song as our prayer here, actually. Go ahead, let's sing that.